this Wednesday, June the 16th, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour. All kinds of stuff bubbling here at WWGH Radio.
We're going to do it.
Yeah, we're going to do it. I tell you, who knows what might happen in the next week. You got to stay tuned to this station. But we did have a caller before the break when we were talking about DeWine and Vax-a-Million and all that. If that was you, call in. We do want to hear your opinion. We've got plenty of time now. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, I do want to say, because I think sometimes I come down, it sounds like I'm coming down hard on DeWine. DeWine has faced the biggest obstacle Ohio has had to face in more than 100 years.
He's ugly? That wasn't it all.
I do want to say this, and okay, I think this is our caller, so we'll come to you in just a second, caller, but I do want to say this because I don't want to... I think this Vax-a-Million was misguided. I think that DeWine... The picture was not the greatest thing last week with the guy in Richwood. But let me also say this about Mike DeWine. Mike DeWine faced the biggest crisis that this state has faced in more than 100 years with this pandemic. And for right or wrong, he had to make a decision. He did make decisions. And a matter of fact, he made decisions, I believe, that weren't political in the beginning. His health director was a Democrat. We now know that. He took her advice. He... did the best he could, and I give Mike DeWine a lot of credit for that, because for the first 9 months of this, I don't believe any of his decisions were political when it came, because he was getting bashed by his own party, right and left. So, that being said, caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree with that, Scott. A couple things. Earlier, Glenn said, you know, why Republicans aren't getting vaccinated because the president is telling them, or Trump was telling them not to. I don't think I have ever heard him say, don't get the vaccine. I have heard him on many occasions promote the vaccine. And if you think about it, it even makes sense. He televised him getting the shot, and he's the one that promoted the vaccine with warp speed. So why would he not promote the vaccine when he tried so hard to get it developed? The only one I've heard that said they would not get the vaccine, well, not the only one, but the main one, is Kamala Harris, who said she would not get a Trump vaccine, but she lied. She did eventually get it. But I don't know what the answer is, because I know Whirlpool only has 30-some percent vaccinated, and they give the shots out there free, and they even give you $200 to the employees if they get the vaccination. So there's people that just don't want to get it for a myriad of reasons. Maybe you could have some people call in that refuse to get it and give a reason.
Caller, you're absolutely right. I shouldn't have said Trump. I really meant the Republicans that I've listened to. And, you're right. Trump did say get your vaccine, and you're right. I'm sorry.
So, no, that's all right. I just wanted to clarify, because I hadn't, heard that. But,
I
don't understand any politician of either party not promoting it.
I didn't know that... Kamala had said she wouldn't get a Trump vaccine. I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yeah, she did. So, but she recanted and ended up getting it. So.
Was she trying to be funny?
Funny. I won't call it the Trump vaccine. I don't know which one she got, but she did get vaccinated.
Hey, caller, I got a question for you, though, on this DeWine thing. You agreed with what I said about, making the decisions that he had to make. Do you think it's put him in jeopardy of getting bounced out of office?
Sure.
Yeah.
Anybody that makes hard decisions on, I don't care either party, if you make a hard decision on a controversial subject, you're taking chances of getting hit from both sides, and that puts you in jeopardy.
Now, caller, wouldn't you prefer to have a politician that wants to make a hard decision?
Absolutely.
Yes, I think I thought you'd say that.
But there's a lot of them that won't. I mean, all you have to do is watch every State of the Union speech I've ever watched. Well, somebody can say something like, we're all patriots, and half of them will stand up and half of them won't. And I'm thinking, there isn't one person there that disagrees.
Well, I was kind of shocked this year. It wasn't called State of the Union Address. It was just called Address to the... But there were several Republicans that stood up in several of the things that Biden said, and I was pleasantly surprised at that.
Well, yeah, I am
proud of the Republicans for doing that.
I wish it would be the other way also. I you know, you should... Right is right, and wrong is wrong.
That's
and,
right.
And, you know, it's... But the... obviously, the Congress, they follow party lines.
Yeah,
and,
unfortunately.
If you buck the party line, you see that with Manchin in West Virginia.
Yeah, yeah.
He's taking a lot of heat for doing what he... His constituent, you know, West Virginia is a heavy Republican state.
Yes, it is.
Following he's following his constituents' wishes, so, you know, I can't blame him either, so...
Well, he's actually...
Romney's kind of doing the same thing on the Republican side, so...
I think that the polls have shown that even the Republicans in West Virginia want this H.R. 1 to pass, and there are a couple of bills on there that he won't help, that even...
The one thing that I don't understand that the Democrats... seem to be against is voter ID. I mean, we have to show here in Marion, you know, in Ohio, you have to show some form of ID, whether it's utility bill or a driver's license or something. Mm-hmm. I don't see anything wrong with proving that you're a citizen when you vote. I don't buy the fact that, well, poor people can't do that. Well, poor people have, you know, if they drove there or if they pay any utility or anything, and they can get a free state ID. I don't see where that's discriminating against anybody.
Well,
and I think, you know, otherwise, are we just going to let anybody? I mean, what's the advantage of being a citizen if you're not going to prove that, you know, you have the right to vote?
Well, I think you're right. I'm not one of those Democrats that says that's a horrible thing to have. As long as the ideas are available to you and me and rich people and poor people and homeless people, I'm all for giving out the ID. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what I don't understand. It's not so much the ID and all that. It, what I don't understand is why are people trying to limit the time you can vote? I don't get that one.
I don't either.
That they're trying to make it less available. That, you know, you can't go on this date, you can't vote this early. I don't quite understand that.
Yeah, I know different states do different things.
Yep,
and
that's right.
Gerrymandering is pretty rampant too. So
yep,
I don't know.
Well,
those,
do you think it should be? Do you think it should be mandated by the federal government of how, you know, when you can vote and how long you have and that sort of thing? Or do you think it should be the states?
No, I think that should be a state right.
Okay.
You know, something that's, you know, states have certain rights. And
yep.
I think that all states are a little bit different in their makeup. So, you know, I'd rather see the state doing that. But I think the state should have a, you know, the right to do that.
Yeah, okay.
Great. Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And I'm sorry, I was wrong. You were absolutely right.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to make...
Correct point.
Okay. Yes, and, you know, and that's what, you know, we should be able to discuss things.
We should.
And not just,
absolutely.
You know, irate over it. So, okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The caller's absolutely right, and the neat thing about this show and our show, I think, is people can call in and say what they believe.
And phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If the lines are ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So call in. They're good questions. Anything you want to comment on, anything we've said, if you know the host of Hullabaloo, I'd still love to hear that. Or if,
I can't find it on Google.
Oh, I know who it is. And also, if you haven't got the shot, I mean, seriously, nobody's going to criticize you. But why not? Why do you think people aren't getting the shot, the vaccination? It's an opinion. 740-383-9944. But I do want to say, I think Mike DeWine, I mean, I can't imagine any harder decisions that any governor ever had to make in the history of Ohio, ever. And he had to do it in full spectacle of television, radio, newspapers, internet. No governor had to do that. So I feel bad for him in a way because he has this long political career in this state. He got to the job he wanted, and everything broke loose. And it has cost him a lot, the decisions he made. And you know what? I don't think there was any right decision. I don't think if he had done everything the complete opposite way, I think people would be hitting him the other way.
Oh, that absolutely.
So it's unfortunate for this guy because in the end, I think Mike DeWine is probably a very decent guy.
Yeah.
I think that he has tried very, very, very hard to protect the health of this state. And it's unfortunate because, in the end, that might also be his Waterloo.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've ran for on is honesty in government. And if there's anybody any Republican that I would say in Ohio that I really trust as being honest, I would say it's probably DeWine.
Yeah, well, he was popular enough to win the governorship.
Yep.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott and Glenn, how are you?
Good.
and Scott, I've fully exceeded my limitation of phone calls in one day.
Oh, no, we love them. Go ahead.
So, one of the things you and I didn't even talk about this morning in that first hour when I called you and we talked about the vaccination and everything, my reason for not getting a vaccination, and I know I'm not alone on this, is I had COVID. I'm one of that 1.1 million Ohioans, or 10% of the population, that had COVID and fully recovered from it. So, I mean, I've got natural immunity. And, you know, research shows that the natural immunity provides me just as much protection as a vaccine does. So, in my mind, it would be a waste of a vaccine for me to go and get it.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I don't know. But I often wondered why they wanted people who had COVID to come in and get shots. Was anybody explain that to you?
No, nobody has been able to explain that to me because there again, it goes back, you know. As a matter of fact, not only does the research show that I have as much immunity as somebody that's got the vaccine, but there have been a number of virologists who have stated the fact that if you have the natural immunity, your body has better protection against the variants than just the vaccination.
Yeah, I think I read that.
I've heard a couple different virologists say that. So, you know, I look at it, you know, I'm taking, you know, scientific information and making what I would consider a, you know, reasonable not to get a vaccine. Why waste the vaccine because there's somebody else who could use it?
Wasn't there some conjecture on this, though, at some point about how long the immunity lasts, like with a common cold or a flu, that you're not totally immune forever from it? There's some confusion about this.
There's no definitive answer on that because, you know, this is being a new virus, this being a new type of vaccine that's been developed, nobody really knows, you know, how long the vaccine is good for. And quite honestly, I've not seen where anybody's been willing to stick their neck out on the line and say if you have immunity natural that you're good for the rest of your life. Nobody seems to really want to make a stand on it, because I've tried to read as much information about it as I can, and there's just, you know, some questions I just can't find the answers for.
Well, and that's one of the problems, I think people who have had COVID and certainly severe cases of it do not want it again, and I don't think anybody will say, is it immunity forever? Is it immunity for 4 months? I know I heard that number at one point. Nobody really seems to know, and I think there's just a fear that if you can get it again, if it's already weakened parts of your immune system, because now we have all this study stuff coming out, information that it does damage to things that we never thought it would do damage to.
Yeah, and there again, you know, I mean, it's really going to be years and years before we really know like we have answers to a lot of these questions. You know, what are going to be the long-term effects of people that had COVID? Are there going to be any long-term effects to the vaccine? Is there going to be a time when, you know, your immunity is back down to zero because, you know, your immunity's warm? You know, if these are things, it's going to take time to really get the answers.
It is.
I just pulled it up on Google, and it's as clear as mud. There is really, it says maybe this, but maybe that.
Well, you know, Glenn, I mean, one of the things that, you know, that I've discovered, you know, when I was there Thursday night, I was telling Scott, you know, that I've looked at a lot of the statistics, I've looked at a lot of the, you know, information that's out there, and that was kind of why I called this morning, because I wanted to share some of those statistics. But, you know, one of the things that I have found over the months that I've been working as much on this as I can is you can find studies to support whatever position you want to be on.
Yes.
If you are, you know, you believe masks work, you can find studies that claim masks work. If you believe that the masks don't work, you can find studies that show that. So, you know, a lot of this is just, you can find somebody's research to support whatever you want to believe.
Unfortunately, that's true on just about every question raised by mankind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you for calling.
Alrighty.
We're glad you're feeling good now, though.
That's right. 740-383-9944. If you got anything to say, 740-383-9944. 32 and a half minutes past the hour. It's an interesting subject.
Yeah, it is. And I hope we won't have to talk about it much further. But
well,
it looks like we are.
Well, I think the talking in definitives with it is bad. I think that's going to be a problem long term. I don't think anything with it right now can be said with any definitive measure.
Well, I remember, and I've mentioned this many times, I was a polio pioneer and was given the shot, the very first shots that were available for polio. And I remember my parents talking about, will this last? And they were concerned that I'd have to go back and get a booster every year. Well, it ended up I did have to get a booster. But I didn't have to get it, I think, for about 3 or 4 years, something like that. And now I'm good for life, I guess. So.
Well, I think as the research gets better, everything will get better regard to this. It's a fascinating thing.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to have a brain as big as Dr. Fauci to figure it out.
Well, you know what's sad about the whole thing is that it has become political, and when things become political, people get turned off.
They take science out of it and throw politics in, and that just muddies the water.
But why in the world do we feel the need to make everything political? Didn't we have days?
Well, I think you have to go back 5 years. I really think it had to do with Trump that made things so terribly political, right or left. You're either with us or you're against us, and I think it continues to be that way.
Well, I don't know. You know, I honestly think it started with, I think 9/11, to be honest with you, because I remember...
No, lie to me. I'd rather you lie to me.
Well, it just feels
don't
to me...
Don't be honest with me.
Well, you know, half the things 50-50 on this show. I think that if you look back to 9/11, everybody... Bush had a huge approval rating, something like 80-something percent after the towers went down. And that was after a very contentious election where people felt that he had stolen it in Florida over Gore and all this sort of thing.
Well, he did.
But we liked him a year later.
It was okay.
Okay, but then the Iraq War, I think, was really the thing that divided this. There's a political divide in this country that you cannot cross. And I think it's lasted ever since. Because if you liked Bush, you liked him. If you hated him, you hated him. There was no middle ground. And Obama had a very similar thing. There was either love or hate. And Trump had that, love or hate. And I don't think we have middle ground. I think Bill Clinton was the last president who got along with Republicans and vice versa. They got along with him, and things could actually get done.
Yeah, I'm not sure that things are going to get done. You know, the one thing I think that would make democracies stronger and government stronger and political parties stronger is if there was a ban on lying, and there is none. We lie to, like this last caller, you can find an answer on everything, and the science is pretty clear on some of this stuff we're talking about now. There's I think it was a Pennsylvania legislator that came out and said global warming could be reduced significantly if we could figure out how to quit people's bodies warming up to 98.6. How ridiculous is that? But I'm sure there's scientific respect to that. Yeah, your body does warm up to 98.6, and yeah, you are a little baby catalytic converter, and you turn heat around you, but it doesn't raise the temperature of the globe that much.
No, but you know, I wish we spent a lot more time trying to understand the people we disagree with.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
It really is hard to do.
Yeah.
Didn't used to be all that hard to do.
Yeah, it did. It was always hard. Well, I shouldn't speak for other people. It was always hard for me to understand ignorance in people. And I say that not as a bad thing. We're all ignorant about something. I'm ignorant about a lot of things. And I try not to be, but obviously I am. But the... it's hard to understand why we aren't very intelligent. We're about 30% of our population probably has the intelligence that they were given with. I don't know. I think we need to be honest, and we need to be constantly educating ourselves.
Well, here's the problem I guess I have. I pay attention to commentators. And commentators are fascinating to me because as soon as the moderator gives a subject, I know what their opinion's going to be because they're that way. And that just can't be right. See, there's nobody, in my opinion, who feels completely aligned with one other person on this planet. There's nobody. So that people can't, I mean, I want somebody to shock me sometime and go, wow, that is right, and it be completely the opposite of how they believe or what a political affiliation they have.
Well, we had an instance today where I stated that Trump didn't want people to get the vaccine. I was absolutely wrong on that, and I knew it as soon as it came out of my mouth. And when the caller called in and said I was wrong, he was right. And I think we have to be able to allow other people to be right and ourselves to be wrong. I allow myself to be wrong sometimes, not with my wife.
Well, I'm just saying when it comes to certain things. All presidents, no matter how bad they are ranked and so on and so forth, or how good they're ranked, they all did things right and they all did things wrong.
True.
So the fact that anybody could completely dislike somebody is a little shocking because I do try to find something with everybody that I can say, oh, okay, well, that was good. That was something good.
I wish I could believe that way, and I'm sure with time I will find reasons to believe that Mr. Trump had some redeeming qualities, but
well,
I just don't.
I've moved on past Herbert Hoover to Franklin Roosevelt, and I already knew a lot about Franklin Roosevelt, but I'm paying more attention to it, and it's fascinating to me that people rank, I think he's usually number two or number three on all the lists of greatest presidents of all time, but when you look at his even political decisions, he was horrible on civil rights, and he knew he was horrible on civil rights. He knew that he had to impress the South, and that's why, I mean, he had a home in Warm Springs, mainly because of polio, but he also referred to himself at points as transplant Southerner because he had a home in Warm Springs because he had to win those segregationists. And you find one piece of legislation that Franklin Roosevelt ever championed that had to do with civil rights. The anti-lynching policy didn't pass under Franklin Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he was great in World War II, and he was great in helping pull us out of the Depression, but on civil rights, he was not good at all.
Well, it's interesting. I found, after we talked about him last week on the show, I went home and looked through some of my dad's writings. My dad loved him. My grandfather hated him. And so I thought, well, maybe Dad did some sermons on Roosevelt, and he did not. But I did find a couple of letters that he was writing back to his father. And I couldn't, it was kind of like me listening to a Trump fan. My grandfather hated Roosevelt. And I couldn't understand any reason why he hated him. He stated some things, and I thought, well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Well, you know, Roosevelt expanded the government more than any other president did. Yeah. He also stayed longer than any other president.
And my grandfather was fairly well-to-do doctor from Indianapolis, who was the coroner for Indianapolis. So he had lots of money. And I think that had a lot to do, because my grandfather absolutely hated all the social things that he did.
Well, Franklin Roosevelt and so Eleanor Roosevelt were horribly hated by a group of people.
And yet they hated each other, too, at times.
Well, and that's another one of his picadillos in life, is how he treated his wife. I mean, I don't think she cared for him all that much.
Well, she never said it.
Well,
In so many words.
I think she said it to him, and I think she said it in letters that she was not a fan.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. Having been married for 51 years, I'm sure she told him.
So, you know, we look at these things. I mean, he died with his mistress. So, there you go.
Yeah. No, that was his lady friend who was just taking care of him because he was sick down in Alabama or wherever it was.
Well, you know, it was interesting to me that he had all these traits that made him the right guy for that time, but he certainly was not perfect.
No, and he was a man of privilege, and therefore, that thing that you brought up about racial thing, at that time, excuse me, people of privilege, white people, did not really pay much attention to the problems of the African American.
Well, I think
I don't think he did.
Well, I think his, honestly, because Eleanor was certainly... did not like how he felt about that.
No, she did not.
But I think that, and she was privileged, but I think that, I think it had more to do with getting elected.
Do you think there's a difference in the way the average woman thinks as opposed to the average man about politics?
I think it depends who it is.
Well, of course it does. But I'm just saying the average. I would say that I would rather have a woman president than a man president. Especially if I was worried about going to war, because I don't think women have to prove what a big man they are.
Well, but you know, very few presidents have gone to war.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
You know, and they've all been men.
But you know, we've been at war of some form or the other all but 24 years of our existence. They didn't call Korea war. They didn't really call Vietnam war. They didn't... You know, a lot of these things, they're police actions or something like that. But, yeah, we've only had two really declared wars, World War One, World War Two, I guess.
Well, Vietnam, I think, was declared.
Was it declared?
I think it was.
Okay. Could be. And the war on drugs, of course, that's a major one.
Well, Iraq. I think Iraq was declared.
Was it?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
I believe so.
I would have to go back and look on that.
But it's an interesting thing how these people operate, and if you dig far enough into their lives, I mean, Harding. Look at Harding here. You know, I still don't know or see any evidence that he knew that Teapot Dome was going on.
Yeah, and I think he was just kind of a middle of the road president, but people have turned him into a really bad guy.
Well, yeah, I mean,
because of his philandering.
Well, I think that's part
and
of it.
And the teapot dome.
Well, and I think that he had a corrupt administration.
Yes.
But I don't know if he knew it was corrupt.
Yeah, but now that's always a question. If your administration is corrupt, don't you have to take the blame for that if you're the president?
Well, if you don't know, I don't know how you...
Yeah, well, then your ignorance is worse than you're allowing it to go on.
Yeah, but if you don't know, how do you stop it?
Well, that's a good question. But I can't imagine that people... Well, I don't know.
People get a little bit of power. I think heavy delegators cause big problems.
Yeah, if you're not the type of person that'll keep an eye on things, yes, you're right.
So, and I think that's what happened with him. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened with Reagan.
Do you think Biden is a heavy delegator, or do you think he's a...
You know, I don't know yet.
Well, yeah, we haven't had much time with him as president.
I think he's delegated quite a few things.
Yeah, and I think you have to as president. You can't do it all. I think he's trying to pick and choose the things that he wants to be at the top of. I we'll find out.
Well, it's just, you know, the conversations about presidents are interesting because there's so much, and I'm glad this country has done a great job about keeping writings and letters and paperwork and things that went on during all these presidencies. They've all got these great libraries that you can go and really get a sense of who they were.
Where do you think Trump's library will be?
Well, you know, I don't know.
I bet New York.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe down in Florida.
Could be in Florida.
Yeah.
Are there any in Florida?
I don't know. That's
I don't think
a good
there
question.
Are. Yeah. I don't think there are.
Too hot. Can't get down there in the middle of July when everybody's eating ice cream, as you said.
That's right, in Florida. Yeah, you got to love it in July. 50 licks to get through. Do you buy that, 50 licks, to get through one scoop of ice cream?
No, I can do it in one mouthful.
Well, how many licks does it take, in your opinion? People were guessing like 500. It's 50.
That's somebody measured that, huh? That's kind of like trying to figure out how many licks it takes to get to the chocolate center of a Tootsie Roll. Or
right.
Tootsie Roll sucker.
Which I think somebody must have.
Probably.
Yeah. So what are you and Dr. Feynman going to talk about today?
Oh, all sorts of things. The silliness that's going on is one of the things. We have... people that are saying things that are so outrageous, like this green lady. I mean, there are... I'm saying the green lady because I hate to call her a congressperson. But we have Gohmert. Anyway, we have some absolutely ridiculous statements being made by some of our politicians. I'm going to have to go back in and look and find out what we are going to talk about. sorry about that. But if I don't look, I will... There we go. There's Glenn, and there's my thing telling me what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about hilarious, outrageous, ignorant, and sometimes thought-provoking politics. So we're going to talk about the pressure on the DOJ to have them say that the lies he was saying, or whatever you want to call them, backing him up. We're going to talk about what happened today. Biden meeting with Putin. Now, we aren't going to know the answer, but we're going to talk about what we're afraid might be the answers or what might not be. Maybe the new relationships that we're developing with NATO. Hey, did you know why? I've been watching on TV, and they have all the NATO leaders come together for a picture, right? And above it, it says NATO. And behind NATO, it says NATO backwards. OTAN. What does that mean?
I don't know.
OTAN.
OTAN.
It sounds like something...
Maybe it's just their crest.
I don't know. It says NATO, OTAN. It sounds like something that one of those cartoon people would say. I can't remember who.
Now, what's the Department of Justice topic today?
The the Department of Justice was, they've come across an awful lot of evidence that the Department of Justice was pressured heavily by Trump to say that the elections in some of those states were not correct, that they need to be changed. I don't see how they can do that. Most of those were, well, not most of them, all of them were checked 3, 4, 5 times, and each time they were, and in many cases were said to be correct by Republicans, Secretary of States, so, or Secretaries of State.
You know, I still wonder to this day what it was about, and I know what the easy answers are, but I still think there's underlying stuff. What was it about Obama and Trump that brought out such strong emotion?
Know the answer.
Both ways.
Know the answer.
Love and hate.
Well, I don't know the answer about Obama going towards Trump, but Trump absolutely was beside himself at the press club thing.
Well, yeah, I think, yeah, that didn't help.
I don't even think, I think that was the beginning of his hatred for, I mean, if you watched his face while Trump was, or while Obama was being funny, I'm putting that in air quotes, he was mad.
Well, I think, you know, I've seen that clip. And to be honest, it was if he would have hit him like he was hitting everybody else, that's okay. He really did a number on him.
Oh, yes, he did.
And I don't know that that was the right thing to do.
The whole time, I watched it very uncomfortably, thinking, this is going to get paid back.
And it did.
It did.
It absolutely did. Yeah. And, you know, the thing, but I just, those two, I don't remember this kind of emotion for Bill Clinton or George W. Bush. I mean, you had people who liked him and disliked him, but it wasn't to the core. People love Obama. People hate Obama. People love Trump. People hate Trump. It's so strange. There's no middle of the road.
Well, I think you can take Obama and give a big chunk of that hatred to racism. I'm not saying all of it. I'm just saying a big chunk of it. With Trump, I think the constant lying was something that really made a lot of us very angry.
Well, I think a big part of it with Obama, my best summation of that whole issue was, Obama was not a good, he was a good campaigner. I don't think he was a good politician. I think he did a lot of executive orders.
Well, they've all done that recently.
Recently.
Yeah.
And I think he did that. I think there were a lot of things done without trying to reach out to the other party that upset the old Republican rank, like the John Boehners and the John McCains. And I think they thought, this isn't the way it's supposed to work.
I think it got squeezed down probably in before Obama. It started to get squeezed down and tighter and tighter and tighter of which team are you on. And then Obama and Trump have kind of locked it into the opposite sides.
I think Trump, to be honest with you, I think he was just, he was an entertainer. And I think that's what people liked about him. I think people who ran networks like that about him. He
Did
got
you
them
like
ratings.
That show? I mean,
The Apprentice?
Yeah.
Oh, I never watched The Apprentice. Mm-hmm. But I think his... I know that there were people who voted for Hillary Clinton in the main election who voted for Donald Trump in the primary. I know there were. I mean, I know one of them who thought Donald Trump was great because he was entertaining. And they were some of the highest-ranked Republican primary viewership things you've ever seen in your life. They were entertained by him. And
I think a lot of people liked him because the image of him was, I'm a tough guy. I'm not going to put up with anybody's telling me what to do. A lot of people like that. I'm like that.
Well, to this day, I mean, the one thing you can say about Donald Trump is that to this moment, if you fire something in his way, something's coming back. You know, he's not going to turn the cheek.
That's a really good Christian attitude.
Well, I don't know that. But you know what? John Wayne. That's John Wayne.
I know. I didn't like John Wayne either.
But a lot of people did.
I know. A lot of people did. Probably way, way, way more than did.
You know, I think for a long time, we had these people who were apologists, and they were...
Does that mean you're weak if you're...
No, I don't think it does, but I think it's... apologist? But I think people like... You know, it's the same reason people like Patton, and they like...
I don't like Patton,
but
either.
People do. He's considered an American hero.
I don't like any of those guys that used to bully my friends around. I was a football player, so I didn't get bullied. I was pretty big, pretty strong. But I had a lot of friends that were bullied by those guys that were tough guys.
But is that... No, see, I don't think it's good to bully. But I think if somebody fires a shot in your way and comes at you and says something nasty about you, well, if it comes back your way, I guess... That's the way it goes.
Well, that's why I say it's not terribly Christian. If they're going to say that they're Christians and they do not turn the other cheek, then they're hypocrites as well as not very good.
Well, no,
Christians.
I'm just saying I think that's why people like him.
Yeah.
I think he's that way, and I think also he is the embodiment of what a lot of people think America should be. America first. It's very American. It's very, we are the best.
Yeah, I guess, and I've always been brought up by my minister father to think that we are people, all people. I guess I'm a globalist. I don't believe in global economics and stuff like that, but I do believe that all people are human beings and all people are good if they're good. And if they're bad, they're bad.
Well, the problem, his Achilles heel, I think, for Trump, just personality. I don't, you know, policies, historians will deal with all that. But his people problem was that there's nobody in the middle with him. And at some point, you've got to appeal to people in the middle. You've got to say something where maybe people won't vote for you, but at least they'll like you. And I think there was such an either-or during that presidency, and there was such an either-or during the Obama presidency, that there is very little middle ground. I mean, there are Republicans to this day who will go on television and say, you know, Bill Clinton, blah, 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 but I liked him. You can't not like him. There are people who say it about Bush, too. Mm-hmm. You know, you enter the room with George W. Bush, you can't not like that guy.
Yeah.
And they don't say that about Obama and Trump.
I kind of liked Bush.
Yeah.
And I liked Clinton.
Right.
I loved Obama. And no, I didn't love Trump. But
have you ever heard somebody say, I wouldn't have voted for Obama, but boy, he engulfed me when I met him.
I have heard people say that, and not when they met him, but when they listened to his speeches. He was a very good speaker.
But you know, for Clinton and W. Bush, they were the type of guys you'd want to have a drink with, even if you don't agree with it. Obama and Trump weren't those type of guys.
I think Bush would have been great fun to have a drink with.
Right, and I think that's why they saw Al Gore very stiff, and they saw George W. Bush very easy.
Mm, yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah, but for some reason, maybe we'll get there again one day where the president is somebody who you think, well, this is just I don't agree with anything he says, but I like him.
Well, I was watching Hillary this morning, and
what was she doing this morning?
She was on with Morning Joe, and
how was her hair? We care about that on this station quite a bit.
Okay. Yes, you do. I never think her hair looks very nice, but it was
okay, so
it
she
was
didn't
wild.
Get a professionally
it
done.
It was kind of wild, yeah.
Okay.
But she was very good, and after she was done talking, I thought she would have been a far better president.
Oh, what was she talking about?
What was going on with Putin and how Biden should deal with Putin and how Biden should deal with our NATO stuff.
Well, the hardest person ever on Putin was Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
She called him a liar to his face.
She was hated by Putin, and Putin
paid her back.
He certainly did. He gave her a receipt along the way. But, you know, there's another person who, you know, Charles Grodin, the late Charles Grodin, had the best line. He said, I can understand why people don't like Hillary Clinton, but he said he was at a party with her, and he was a little nervous because people didn't like her. And he said he was in the back of the room with her, and he said, well, let me say this right before we go off the air. But he said it was during the Trump-Hillary Clinton election. He said, I've met them both. I don't know them, but I've met them, and here are my experiences with them. So I was at dinner with Donald Trump and a group of people, and I walked up and I said, I'm on 60 Minutes. And he said, I never watched that program. And he said that was his interaction with Trump. And he said, with Hillary, he said he was in the back of the charity outing with her, and he came off stage, and she was about to go on stage, and he passed her, and he said, I hear you're going to be singing tonight. And she said, well, that'll clear out the place.
I think she would have been a far better president.
And Progressive Life with Glenn Kobel coming up next. Well, hey, maybe she can get a job.
Yeah.
Call Biden.
Hey, maybe she could run for governor of Ohio.
She's going to move here.
Oh, that's right.
I know. Stay tuned.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number 740-387-9050.
Programs on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are brought to you by Williams Grass Cutters. Telephone number 740-272-0062. Website williamsgrasscutters.com. Facebook page @WilliamsGrassCutters. Email